The squalor of that little house on the outskirts of the pueblo. A space of dust and rubbish separated it from the village. Two famine-stricken dogs were nosing obscenely in the garbage at its door. Inside, when they entered, the twilight stank and was loud with flies. "Linder!" the young man called. From the inner room, a rather hoarse female voice said,
"Coming!"
They waited. In bowls on the floor were the remains of a meal, perhaps of several meals. The door opened. A very stout blonde squaw stepped across the threshold and stood looking at the strangers, staring incredulously, her mouth open. Lennon noticed with disgust that two of the front teeth were missing, and the color of the ones that remained. She shuddered. It was worse than the old man, so fat, and all the lines in her face, the flabbiness, the wrinkles, and the sagging cheeks with those purplish blotches, and the red veins on her nose, the bloodshot eyes, and that neck, and the blanket she wore over her head, ragged and filthy, and under the brown sack-shaped tunic, those enormous breasts, the bulge of the stomach, the hips, oh, much worse than the old man, much worse. And suddenly the creature burst out into a torrent of speech, rushed at her with outstretched arms, and fought. It was too revolting. In another moment she'd be sick, pressed her against the bulge, the bosom, and began to kiss her. Fought to kiss, slobberingly, and smelt too horrible, obviously never had a bath, and simply reeked of that beastly stuff that was put into Delta and Epsilon bottles. No, it wasn't true about Bernard. Positively stank of alcohol. She broke away as quickly as she could. A blubbered and distorted face confronted her. The creature was crying.
"Oh, my dear, my dear!"
The torrent of words flowed sobbingly.
"If you knew how glad, after all these years, a civilized face, yes, and civilized clothes, because I thought I should never see a piece of real acetate silk again."
She fingered the sleeve of Lenina's shirt. The nails were black.
"And those adorable viscous velveteen shorts. Do you know, dear, I still got my old clothes, the ones I came in, put away in a box. I'll show you them afterwards, though of course the acetate has all gone into holes. But such a lovely white bandolier, though I must say your green morocco is even lovelier. Not that it did me much good, that bandolier."
Her tears began to flow again.
"I suppose John told you what I had to suffer, and not a gram of soma to be had. Only a drink of mescal every now and then when Pepe used to bring it. Pepe is a boy I used to know. But it makes you feel so bad afterwards, the mescal does, and you're sick with the peyotl. Besides, it always makes that awful feeling of being ashamed so much worse the next day. And I was so ashamed. Just think of it, me, a beta, having a baby. Put yourself in my place."
The mere suggestion made Lennon a shudder.
"Though it wasn't my fault, I swear, because I still don't know how it happened, seeing that I did all the Malthusian drill, you know, by numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, always. I swear it. But all the same, it happened. And, of course, there wasn't anything like an abortion centre here. Is it still down in Chelsea, by the way?" she asked.
Lennon nodded.
"And still floodlighted on Tuesdays and Fridays?"
Lennon nodded again.
"That lovely pink glass tower."
Poor Linda lifted her face and with closed eyes ecstatically contemplated the bright remembered image.
"And the river at night," she whispered.
Great tears oozed slowly out from between her tight-shut eyelids.
"And flying back in the evening from Stoke Poges, and then a hot bath and a vibro-vacuum massage. But there...